book represents what the scholars call the Philosophia Perennis, the perennial philosophy. That means a kind of distillate of the truths that can be found in many religious and philosophical traditions. And that's true. If you look at, you know, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, Christianity, Judaism, you can distill from them certain basic truths. And then you can say, well, you know, the Buddha teaches that, Muhammad teaches that, Jesus teaches that, the Sufi mystics teach that. Fine, that's true. You can find that distillate. But I would never want to reduce Christianity to that. That's like taking a little least common denominator of Christianity and saying that's what it's all about. I would say the Catholic theology has what Newman called the power of assimilation. It's able to assimilate truths from other cultures and religions and ideas and find points of contact. We have a more analogical imagination as opposed to a dialectical imagination. Protestantism tends in a more dialectical, either-or direction, true-false. The Catholic view is more analogical, that sees relationships and connections and similarities. So it's not exactly what we're saying, but it's similar. That's not it exactly, but there's something we can find there. Go back to the early church fathers. They said that if Jesus is the truth made flesh, then anything that's true is related to him. So 2 plus 2 equals 4. Well, you're finding something that's related to Jesus. This philosophical perspective that's true to some degree, that means it's related to Christ, who is the truth. That's the ground for it. Now, God knows a lot of Catholics over the centuries have violated this principle and have backed it up with violence. And that's what people are jumping on all the time. But I think at its best, at its heart, it does have this inclusive, analogical imagination that wants to see connections. You know, it's like the way you teach a kid. Any teacher will tell you, you do it by analogy. What does the kid know? Well, he knows this simple thing. Well, you know, what I'm teaching you, it's like that, except it's more. Or, you know that? Yeah, well, it's like that, but it's different. Well, that's how we tend to teach the faith, is you start where people are. I would start somebody with Eckhart Tolle and say, you know that thing about egotism and everything? Remember? Well, that's good. And now, there's more to it. And let me show you what that's all about. What we want is salvation, which is a whole transformation of the self in Christ. Here's just a last point I make. Early in the book, he kind of excoriates religious people, and I must say especially Catholics, for propagating violence. Why? Because they cling to these exclusive truth claims. You know, we say we're right about X, Y, and Z, and therefore you're wrong, and therefore we're going to be violent in imposing our view. Well, God knows. There's been way too much violence, Christians undermining themselves in the great tradition. But, the claim to truth is not equivalent to violence. I think you can claim that you're right about something without needing to impose it through violence. But then secondly, and more importantly, Eckhart Tolle is making truth claims. That's why he wrote a book. And from the very beginning, he's saying, I think I'm right about something, and therefore, necessarily, those that disagree with me have to be wrong. So I think it's very unfair to say, oh, you religious people with your obsessions with truth who are now causing all this trouble. Well, heck, whenever you put pen to paper, whenever you put fingers to keyboard and you write a book, you're saying, I think I'm right. In fact, I want you to know it. That's why I'm writing a book. So that to me is disingenuous. I mean, everyone that makes a truth claim thinks the people that disagree with him are wrong. He's right about the need to overcome violence. But don't say, oh, you Catholics and you religious people cling to your truth. Well, he's propagating what he thinks is true as well.